Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the IDP show. I'm your host, Josh Raymer, joined in the So Shack tonight. On my right, Adam Markham. On my left, Bobby Reynolds. Gentlemen, how are we this evening?
Chilling, mate.
Bobby, how are you, man?
Hey, Josh.
How's it going?
I'm good.
Did you give that Manscaped body wash a sniff?
Yes, sir.
Some good smelling product right there. Does it smell like a man?
Ooh, that smells like a man.
Finely groomed man.
It do smell real nice, don't it?
For real. If y'all are thinking about some Christmas gifts.
It's great. I'm sorry. We're Manscaped men. We're company men. But that's a good present for Christmas.
You know, the other thing, too, about us pumping Manscaped. A lot of friends and I know a lot of guys feel a little uncomfortable going to Target doing the old body wash shop, you know?
Yeah, men don't like them. Real men don't shop.
You trust us three to tell you which DNs to grab. Trust us with your body wash.
Body wash sure. Your body will be smelling very washed and very refreshed and very manly.
Exactly.
Sure. It's good stuff.
Exactly.
Men, check it out.
Men do not belong behind a cart going and shopping for washes.
Washes? What about a wash cloth?
Yeah, wash cloth. Yeah. All that stuff. No, thank you.
Y'all shampoo. Y'all want to do that talk? Are y'all washcloth boys? Loofah boys?
I'm I don't know what you call it.
It's a loofah.
It's a loofah. It's a loofah. That's the best word I can think of.
I'm just straight up just lathering up my
hands. Yeah, bro.
Getting in there deep black.
In all his crevices.
Yes, sir.
You're like, oh, I like that one. There we go.
Yes, sir. I like to get in there with my bare hands.
Well, and guys, this is before we've tried the taste test. Bobby brought us tonight,
yeah,
some Mountain Dew gingerbread snapped.
They're just going wild.
They are totally out of their minds. Mountain Dew has lost it, but we're going to give this a try. So I was saying, this is the crazy you're experiencing before we even try this.
Hey, they ginger snapped, right?
I'm going to give it a sniff. Oh, it smells like ginger, like a gingerbread house.
Oh, yeah, it smells like Christmas. It smells like a Mountain Dew Christmas.
Oh, that is terrible. Oh, my God. Who likes this? That is a straight-up gingerbread house.
Yeah, I'm not tasting much, honestly. Just a
real punch of gingerbread.
Some slight gingerbread at the end.
If you like gingerbread, there you go. But yeah, I don't know who this is for.
The aftertaste is bad. Beginning's all right.
There's a reason that you make houses out of gingerbread, and it's not like gingerbread pie
kind of like a stale ale-ate or something.
God, that's really bad.
Yeah, why?
That kind of tastes like cardboard.
Why? Who needed that?
As a company, how much money are you making on a Mountain Dew gingerbread snap program here? You know, a couple months you're rolling this out. I guess you're making more than we are, so.
Yeah, I mean.
Sheesh, that's bad, boys. Don't get the gingerbread snapped.
It's pretty
rough. Oh, the aftertaste. Oh, boys.
Do with a blast of artificial gingerbread flavor.
Oh, it's artificial, all right.
The logo's pretty sick, though. The gingerbread guys throwing snowballs at each other.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I can get behind that.
Yeah, it's always, like, very skater punk, like.
For sure, man. The Rebels love
radical.
The stuff.
Let's go. Yeah.
All right, boys. So, we've got a nice show for y'all this week.
A pretty good show.
It's a decent show.
Yeah.
I'd say C+. Pre-show grade.
Hey, we've already reviewed some
Mountain Dew?
Yeah, some gingerbread snaps.
God, it's so bad. It's in my mouth. I can't get it. I can't get it gone.
Have your fancy cake, Josh.
A fancy cake. Adam's only making room for the Christmas trees, right, this time of year?
Yeah, I've already been through about 3 boxes of them. So, yeah.
I had this conversation with somebody the other day. I don't think there is a Little Debbie snack that I don't like.
They're all really good.
This is terrible.
No, no, no. I was thinking, because you have Little Debbie, and then what's the other one that
you're thinking about Hostess?
Yes, Hostess and Little Debbie are kind of, they have
the two big main
cake
ones.
Market cornered, right?
Yes.
Star Crunch, Fudge Rounds, oatmeal cream pies.
Little Debbie.
Strawberry rolls.
Little Debbie dominates.
Oh, yeah. What's my favorite is still, and this
Nutter
is
butter.
This is still very nostalgic. Yeah. What brand has the oatmeal cream pies?
Little Debbie.
That's Little Debbie.
Little Debbie, okay. That's probably still my favorite. I grew up rocking some oatmeal cream pies.
Zebra cakes.
Zebra cakes. Yeah, we're missing some big ones. Swiss cake rolls.
Cosmic brownies. I always rocked with some. They have that as cereal now, by the way.
Yeah, I've noticed that.
Yeah.
The Swiss cake rolls, did y'all pull the...
No.
No?
I like to eat it all. That's...
Take the icing off and just cram that cake in.
You would eat
you
the icing
You mutilated
off.
The Swiss rolls?
I didn't want the icing. Just give me the cake.
Oh, you didn't eat the icing at all?
No.
Yeah, I ate it. Give it all. Give it all to me, baby.
Just give me that slop sauce,
every
baby.
Bit of it, baby. I'm also, I'm like taking the white part and putting it against my teeth and stuff. You're getting every bit of it out.
I was thinking of you, Adam.
The cardboard part, you know what I'm talking about?
He's eating the cardboard.
Yes, the cardboard
part. I'd eat the cardboard.
I chew on it for a good half an hour.
I was thinking of you tonight. Paxton was eating chicken with Chick-fil-A sauce in the little tray. We also gave him some Pop-Tarts, and he was dipping the Pop-Tarts into the Chick-fil-A sauce. Absolute savage.
Hey, so I tried.
I don't know why that made me think of you, but it did.
I tried the Green Apple Crisp Pop-Tarts a couple weeks ago. I think I tweeted that in the, not tweeted it, put it in the
Yes, you
flight.
Did.
Terrible. Don't try that.
What was it?
What did I say? Crisp apple
Pop-Tarts.
Oh, yeah.
Terrible.
Really?
We've got Mike coming up on a show in December. We're going to talk Pop-Tarts because I told him, Mike, we want your top starts for the last week of the fantasy regular season. He thought I said Pop-Tarts.
Let's go.
So he formulated all these opinions on Pop-Tarts.
Okay,
so we're going to have a discussion.
We're
going
to go get all the boxes. We're going to do a live taste test.
Yeah, we'll sample some.
For sure. I have strong feelings.
Let's get, you get two boxes, I'll get two boxes.
Sounds good.
Let's go.
And Mike can get a couple boxes and we'll all compare.
Mike will ship us some boxes.
Yeah, Mike will ship us some boxes for sure. Thanks, Mike. I love that we volunteered him for this.
And that's all our meals for December.
There we go. That's all my points. I'm back on Weight Watchers, so just all my December points go toward Pop-Tarts.
Also, Mike, if you would you send it separately to each of us?
What's going on, Eddie?
The Pop-Tarts.
Oh, you want them individually
as well. Sure, each of our homes.
Connor will tell you a funny story of growing up. We got you remember the purple Pop-Tarts with the blue icing? I think it was Cosmic Pop-Tarts or something like that.
You're thinking about Wildberry.
Wildberry, there you go, yes. We had those and they were real fancy. I think they were brand new. And of course, I'm a selfish older child, so I hid the Pop-Tarts in my room so Connor could not have them.
Cool.
And he's still tore up about it to this day that I hid the Wildberry Pop-Tarts.
Doesn't surprise me at all.
Not a bit.
Yeah. What about...
bad heart.
Yeah, he does. Have you ever put one in the microwave with a little butter on it?
Oh, yeah.
Woo-wee! That's a damn breakfast right there.
Sir. Is that a country boy hack?
Yes, sir.
So if you're on Weight Watchers, are you off the tenderloin biscuits now?
Unfortunately, yes.
Oh, man.
It's a heartbreaker. I just got on them. Probably was good.
How many points be a biscuit?
Biscuit be about 15 points. It'd be about half my day.
You're lying.
Yeah, it'd be about half my day.
With the tenderloin or just the biscuit?
I get it with the egg and the cheese as well.
Without it, I wonder?
Without it, it'd probably be... tenderloin itself wouldn't be too bad. Probably like 10 points.
No.
So it's doable. It's doable. I could do it. I could splurge.
Woo.
Just don't get the egg and cheese.
What about egg and cheese makes it really good, though.
What about drinks and stuff? Coffee? Anything like that?
No more drinks.
I can't drink anymore.
Drinking. Yeah. Josh, you look really parched, buddy.
All my liquids are now solid.
I ain't drinking a week and a half.
Yeah. I eat all like astronaut food. Well, we've got a great episode for y'all. This has already been...
We're not done gabbing, Josh.
Yeah, this has been 8 minutes of just absurdity, but we actually have some football to talk about, guys. We're going to do a midway check-in. I've heard on a lot of podcasts this past week. This was the start of the second half of the season. So we looked after week 5 at the top 24 scores. So we're going to check in on the top 12 for D-line, linebacker, and DB and see who's risen, who's fallen, and then some guys maybe outside of the top 12 that we want to keep an eye on who could potentially sneak their way into the top 12 here over the back half of the NFL regular season. But, gentlemen, before we get into that, we always like to hit the injury roundup. And, geez, it was a grim, grim weekend for injuries on the IDP front, starting with the big news out of Washington. Chase Young, torn ACL, done for the year. We'll look ahead to the start of 2022. Bobo, I think a lot of IDP managers were disappointed in Chase Young this season. But this is still, even with that disappointment, a gut punch to lose a player of Chase Young's caliber.
I think also what Arn put in here as well about the start of 2022, that's going to be a push. You know, here we are, week 11. I'm trying to think back when Cooper Kupp tore his ACL a couple years ago. I think it was week 8 or so. And I believe he started the year, but he also seems to be a freak. So, yeah, Chase Young has been disappointing. Old Marcy put out that post about him a couple weeks ago. Are y'all selling Montez Sweat now because of the whole Chase Young debacle?
I don't know. Does this really change your thoughts much on Montez Sweat rest of season, Addy?
When we get him back, I mean, he's got a broken jaw right now. So
that's true. Right. I mean, so he's probably not being able to eat. I mean, he probably have to put some weight back on once he comes off that.
You might not even see him until like fantasy playoffs.
Could be.
Yeah. I think
he went on short-term IR, so yeah. That's at least 3 weeks out.
Probably a good time to buy both. I mean, honestly, though, Chase, you might want to wait. I mean, people will still be optimistic at this point. But, sure. You know, as the year wears on and stuff, maybe closer to the deadline, you could get a deal. Maybe you get Chase Young for, what, a second now? 2 seconds?
Yeah, I was thinking, you know.
A second and a third?
Yeah. The Chase Young manager in your league, when's the right time to make the ask, and what's a fair offer? You know.
I still feel like Chase Young is going to cost a lot because he cost a lot.
Right.
I don't know that.
Yeah, no one's going to take a second and third. That's like what I'd offer, I think, at first.
Yeah.
I think the Chase Young manager would still want a first.
Yeah, they're going to decline that.
I don't even know that a first would get him right now just because his name, his second year in.
He was a disappointment, though, no doubt.
Oh, absolutely.
The log was not nice.
Yeah, I guess it depends on the temperature of the seller. How you know. They're a contender. That's interesting. I'm trying to think about Sam right now. Well, Sam's pretty hell-bent on keeping Chase.
Oh, yeah, he's
kind of. But he could probably be bought.
I mean, yeah, if you don't, I mean, there's no sense in selling him.
It depends on what position you're in. Like, yeah. If Sam knew that defensive end was a gaping need right now, I don't think he would move Chase in a deal, but I think the Chase Young manager is a good person to approach if you have some D-end assets to sell.
But we'll also get into the whole debacle that has been the position one ranking system that is this year and how messy it's been. So
yeah, we've got a new drop for about that later.
Does Chase Young, how far does he drop in Dynasty now? He was
I'd say
does he drop?
I believe so.
So now
do you think when he comes back from the ACL that he is a lesser version of himself?
You never know.
So I guess
it's more of a risk now, though. He's had a major injury. He was not playing that great.
Now, mentally, I want Brian Burns ahead of him.
Uh-huh.
Still Myles Garrett ahead of him.
100% Garrett.
Yeah, Nick Bosa ahead of him. TJ Watt.
What about Joey Bosa?
That's the thing, though, is, like, who jumps up ahead of him?
Brian Burns. Yeah. People like Harold Landry.
Yeah.
Potentially.
Yeah.
I want to see Landry's situation.
And
Max Crosby, potentially.
Could be. I don't know. I probably still have Young ahead of those guys. I think he falls into that, like, middle of the top 12.
Josh Allen, definitely.
Josh Allen definitely leapfrogs him now.
I know I'm a little homer, but Odafe Oweh is pushing
he looks
up
pretty
in the
good.
Ranks for me.
He looks good, yeah.
Even though I guess we need to talk sleeper and, like, big-time RSO IDP, but guys like Landry do take a knock, even though I low-key love all these edge guys this year as far as linebackers. Guys like Landry take a knock. Odafe Oweh takes a knock.
Because they're listed as linebackers.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And the rookies are definitely making a push. You know, Pay and Oweh and Aziz Ojulari, those guys are all surging, but I still can't put them ahead of Chase right now. I think Landry's the one. Landry and Max Crosby are the two that I think are worth the debate of. Mm-hmm. End of season, let's see how Max Crosby and Harold Landry finish up, and then I'd love to see where Landry ends up, if he stays with Tennessee, if he goes somewhere else, because there's ambiguity there as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a good poll to put out, Addy, to see where the listeners are coming down.
I'm the big poll lover.
You are the big poll lover and the tremendous presence in this space, as we know. So other injury news here, fellas. That was obviously the big one. Rashawn Gary, hyperextended elbow, MRI due today, plans to brace his elbow and try to play Sunday versus the Vikings. I love this. He was like, I don't care. Put a brace on it. I'm going. Whitney Mercilus, torn bicep, done for the 2021 season, headed for long-term IR. So those are two big injuries because Merciless was with the Packers, right? Mm-hmm. And so this is two big Packers injuries you hate to see. This I hate to see as a former Baring Browning manager. His back started acting up in pregame. He left midway through and didn't return. So something to keep an eye on, but Browning should be all right. The other big one that I think we dodged a massive bullet on was TJ Watt is questionable to play this coming week after his MRI came back negative on hip and knee injuries.
Yeah, that one looked bad.
Yeah.
He was in pain, it looked like.
Yeah. So was the... I heard the Rashawn Gary injury was pretty gross. Did you all actually see this one? I turned that game off because it was so bad.
No, I haven't seen that one. But, yeah, the TJ Watt one is interesting. With it being so bad, and then all of a sudden it's like, yeah, he's planning to play next week. And it's like, are you being a Watt brother and, like, trying to push through the pain, you know? Or
6,000% pain, as we know.
I mean, the Steelers aren't making the playoffs this year. So you got to ask yourself a little bit of, like, should I take care of myself some?
Yeah.
I don't know. At least that's
surely,
my opinion.
Surely he'll be, but also he's probably trying to get that MVP.
Yeah.
You know, defensive MVP.
That DPOY.
Rashawn Gary, fourth highest pressure rate among edge and interior defensive linemen.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a huge loss.
16.3%. He's been great this year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The only reason I ask if y'all saw it, Bobbo, I don't know if you listened to the Around the NFL from Sunday, but Dan said they have access to the truck feed at NFL Network now, and he saw it, and he heard Jim and Tony Romo discussing, hey, I don't think we should show that. That's really bad. And so when they came back from commercial, that's when Jim was like, yeah, we're not going to show that one, guys. It's really bad.
Wow.
So you know it's pretty gross. I haven't seen it yet. I really don't want to see it, but you have to imagine.
I remember seeing the Dak injury like a few times.
Yeah. Nobody had any trouble showing me Dak's wobbly leg.
And him like trying to straighten it out, picking it up. Very bizarre.
So let's hit a couple more of these here quickly, fellas. Bud Dupree considered day-to-day with an abdominal injury. He is set to undergo testing to determine the severity of the injury. Cleveland Browns defensive back Troy Hill taken to a local hospital after suffering a neck injury in the second half against the Patriots. He was released today, Tuesday, so it looks like no long-term damage there.
It's a good thing they took him to a local hospital, not one like far.
I know, right? Yeah. We're taking him to a New England hospital. They have to after the Patriots beat him that bad. I thought this was interesting. The Buccaneers ruled cornerback Richard Sherman out of Sunday's game against Washington before kickoff. He was said to have strained his calf. I feel like this is trending toward like a major league situation where Richard Sherman's just going to be coaching the DBs by the end of this season. Yeah. Seems like his playing days may be behind him.
He'd been very exposed, it seems like, when he's out there on the field.
Just, you know, it happens. Age catches up with all of us. So another DB here, Lions safety Tracy Walker is in doubt for next week as he's in concussion protocol following the Steelers game. Trey Flowers, his teammate, is listed as questionable after suffering an injury in the third quarter. He did return but will be limited this week in practice. Also, Jalen Hawkins, he is day-to-day. Was replaced by Richie Grant, so that's why this is worth noting here. Mm-hmm. Richie Grant did come in relief of Jalen Hawkins. And then finally, Vita Vea, the defensive tackle, was diagnosed with a bone bruise and a slight MCL sprain after his MRI. Vita Vea may miss some time, but it could have been much, much worse. So some bullets dodged. Unfortunately, some guys that are looking like their injuries may linger past this week. Mm-hmm. So it's a brutal week. Brutal week in injury land.
Very tough, yeah.
Also a brutal week to watch the NFL.
I was going to say, did you all see the average margin of victory for this week? 17.7 points.
There's been some bad games lately.
Yes, there really has. It's like there's no good teams and there's some bad teams, but like it's like the bad teams and then a like 22 like average to above average teams.
Everyone's just so inconsistent.
And, yes, truly.
And some good and some bad primetime games.
Yes.
Like Sunday night, Monday night, Thursday night, like woof.
Oh, yeah. We had those three straight weeks.
Bad performances on primetime games as well. Like the Raiders, or I'm sorry, the Ravens and the Raiders. Hell, both of them going and just getting their brains beat in.
What did you think about the Manning cast this week? Were you a fan?
I wasn't able to watch it.
Al Michaels hung on too long. Phil Mickelson was kind of being a jackass.
Until they get the guest thing figured out, it's just, I can't deal with it.
Yeah, the guests.
I love Peyton and Eli together, but the guests just kill it for me.
Phillip Rivers was super boring.
Yeah.
And then Draymond Green was kind of whatever, too.
I don't like when they bring in like people who don't have a like in-depth working knowledge of because then it's just Peyton and Eli trying to like ask them questions and do an interesting interview. Like
I love it how like Eli's trying to hone in on the interview and the whole time Peyton's like, let's get back to the game here and let's talk about why they're
Draymond,
playing too high.
Yeah, tell me why they're running this slant, you know?
Draymond's like, yeah.
What's it's like slant? They asked Sue Bird, what play should they run here? And she's like, I don't know.
I heard a pass play. Isn't that right?
Yeah. And they asked John Stewart, like, you know, what kind of play are you running here, Johnny's like, one that works. And I'm like, what are we doing, guys? Like, what are we doing?
So who would you have on if you're Peyton and Eli?
I would say at most one guest per half.
Who?
And I would have guys that are, like, interesting football minds. Not necessarily the big names. Like, I'd love to see, like...
Johnny the Greek.
Johnny the Greek, absolutely, from his toilet. That's the number one spot. But I mean, it wouldn't happen because if they're having a guest, it has to be a big name. But I'd love to see like somebody like the Fantasy Footballers or Nate Tice or people that are used to talking about football. Like Pat McAfee was the best guest because guess what? He's a former football player and he's a media personality who doesn't suck.
Yeah.
You know, even if he's not your cup of tea, he's not the same cardboard cutout studio personality.
I got to listen to the, you know, actual live cast, the normal version of it last night because I don't get ESPN 2.
It is
ESPN 3.
Awful.
Yeah. And Louis Reddick guy, is that his name?
Louis Reddick, yes.
Ooh, he's terrible. He's so bad.
He's the worst I think I've heard in a long time. He's a cliche machine.
Oh, my God. Last night it was all about San Francisco just come out and punch him in the mouth. And that he said that at least 20 times the first quarter.
It's awful. That booth is so bad. It's gotten worse.
This is going to be a physical game. San Francisco is showing that they're going to be physical tonight.
Yeah.
Just over and over and over and over again.
The main dude's the best part.
Oh, Brian Greasy?
The best part. No.
I'm sorry. Steve Levy.
There you go.
Yeah, Steve Levy.
I'm fine with Levy. He's fine. Yeah. Levy, get somebody else in there.
They saddle these play-by-play guys because Joe Tessitore, I see him now on Holy Moly with Rob Riggle. He's great. You give him a good partner to bounce off of, he's fantastic.
I was thinking about this, too, the other day. When is the Nickelodeon slime game?
That's in the playoffs. They are doing that again this year.
Playoffs.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So they have a new Nickelodeon show, I think called Slime Time.
Yeah. So
that airs on Wednesdays.
Old dude from Good Morning Football,
Nate Burleson,
is on there. Me and Naomi sat down and watched it this week. It was pretty good.
Was it good?
Yeah.
I kind of wondered how it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. We can't wait for the slime game. We love drinking Mountain Dew. This is the IDP show.
Are we Gen Z right now? Is this what Gen Z does?
We're cool kids, no doubt.
Wasn't the MVP of the game Mitch Trubisky?
Yeah. Yes, he was.
Yes, it was.
And they totally butchered his name, the poor kid that had to give him the trophy.
That's on his... Pro Football Reference too.
Awesome.
It was like Mike Trubisky. I was like, oh no, that's not it at all.
It's definitely on his Wikipedia too.
I vaguely remember that one because we had spent all day in the pool at Vegas. We were watching Wild Card Weekend Vegas at the at Circa, and so we'd spent all day in the pool. We were worn out, and so I was like slept for most of that game.
Like
I remember it being fun because that was the Bears Saints game, right?
Yeah,
because that was Trubisky was the MVP.
Freaking all day.
And they just hijacked the voting and made Mitch the MVP.
Yeah.
Just kind of cruel.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
So, fellas, let's talk about some rookie snaps here. Not a lot of movement as far as where guys were previously versus where they were now. It's good to see Monty Rice jump back up here to 69% from zero.
Very nice indeed. I see what you did there, you piece of trash.
You know it. Micah Parsons was down to 74%. Bobby, speak on it. Ernest Jones, 82%, up from 62%. They feels like they're still doing the rope-a-dope here with the linebackers.
I'm not taking too much information from the game last night and applying it to the future, so I can't really give you an explanation for why Ernest Jones' snaps were up. Troy Reader's terrible. That's why his snaps were up. I don't really like Get Your Reader. He is not great in run protection. Got flossed by or fleeced or flocked by George Kittle, however you want to.
Flogged.
Flogged. Got him flogged.
You don't want to be flogged by George Kittle.
Yes, sir.
It's not a position you want to be in.
Troy Reader. The Rams got some issues, Josh. We got quite a few issues.
You got old Tim just throwing the locker room in there with his purple hair.
And talking about poop just constantly.
Oh, do we get it, son?
I did
love the feces.
There was a ton of great memes going around. Just like, you know, the two skaters, the one that slashed the other's like Achilles or whatever, and it was like, this is OBJ's dad and this is Robert Woods, and I'm like, no, y'all are too mean, don't do that. And then like Odell talking to Stafford, he's like, hey man, my dad's watching. It's like Odell's dad has now become like ground zero for memes in the NFL.
I can tell you the main problem for the Rams offensive woes, and it's Sean McVay. If you get into these big primetime games, he has a big ego, and he wants to throw the freaking ball. The Rams ran the ball. I think if you take away one of Stafford's rushes, they had like 8 rushes yesterday. 5 from Hendo, and I think 3 from Sony. And you're playing the 49ers, who I think were like the 25th worst run defense in the NFL. But he just had to come out there with Odell, throw it to him first.
That interception, I saw a little bit of the first part of the game. That pick was just...
Well, I think Odell checked up early.
Yeah, he thought he was going to go deep.
And also, then, it was smoky as hell in there.
No, it was.
It was like a bad time to throw the deep ball.
I was like, did the fireworks go off? Like, hey, just finished going off?
Rams got the ball early. Y'all crank him fireworks. Yeah, do the ones for later on. Do them now.
You know the smoke machines that go when they come out of the truck? Play those right now.
Yeah.
I noticed that, too. That was odd. Yeah. But as we know, Lewis Riddick put it beautifully. They just got punched in the mouth. Both figuratively and literally.
Yes, sir.
I tell you something the Rams are going to miss too is I'm going to butcher his name right now, but Sebastian Joseph Day.
Mm-hmm, yep.
He was great interior.
I know.
Beside of Donald. Von Miller is, if he keeps doing what he's doing from last night, it's a waste of a second and a third or whatever it took to bring him in.
They'll be all right. Everyone chill the hell out.
I don't know, Adam. Their defense is not bueno.
They need Boy, some, pra- they need gonna some be practice fine. Time. They need
they're,
some practice
they're,
time.
They're still the bright shining star in just a really cloudy picture.
Remember,
right now.
Bucks weren't the Bucks until like later on. We got the extra game this year is very helpful for teams like that.
Yes,
they're going into their bye, which will help. But I love Jordan Rodriguez. She does a great job for the Rams from the Athletic out there in Los Angeles. But she kind of talked a little bit preseason about this defense is just set up to give up 3-yard plays, but not 30-yard plays. But when you can string a whole game of 3-yard plays together, you get your ass whooped. And so I think there's a lot of people that are pretty upset with Raheem Morris right now, not showing a whole lot of differentiation pre-snap, just same old Reader. Jones is out there. They're going to have their two high safeties in Fuller and Rapp. Rapp actually did have a sack yesterday. I could talk Rams for a while. I don't know. I'm glad I don't have to watch them this week. I need a week off. They've been frustrating.
Yeah, it'd be good to have a bye. I'm mad that the Colts bye
we
is
gonna
like
take a
week
bye?
14.
We're going to take a hard bye?
Oh, we're going to take a several-month bye.
Month bye.
Yes. Speaking of which, Colts got Hard Knocks debuting tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
That should be just a miserable, miserable hate watch.
You want to pray now? Or
no, I was just thinking of Connor. Connor welcomed his beautiful new son into the world tonight. Everyone is doing healthy. I just got some pictures. That baby is a chunk. It has a big old Raymer head.
Oh, yeah.
But this will be the only thing that keeps Connor from having to watch the Colts on Hard Knocks and reliving the pain of the past 10 weeks.
That big old Raymer head.
Yeah.
Classic.
We got big old Raymer heads.
That's how you know.
Like size 8 domes.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
What size hat you boys wearing?
8.
Oh, boy, I had a snapback in high school.
Yeah.
Sorry, Josh.
Well, in middle school football, famously had to take Coach Decker's paperweight helmet off of his filing cabinet that he never thought anyone would have a big enough head for. Remember Justin Califer?
Yes.
My head was bigger than his. And this was our starting, like, left tackle. I was like... 5'8", 148 pounds in middle school. Had a bigger head than this guy.
Got to have a place to house all that brilliance.
I guess.
Hey, we're all different, right? We're all beautiful in our own ways.
That's just a way of saying you're freak and we don't like you.
Yeah. But this podcast is over.
Yeah, it is over.
I'd forgotten about how freakish that head was. I'm out.
It's too big.
Don't want to associate with that.
It gets heavy sometimes.
That's all I'm going to think about now.
I need a neck brace just to keep my head up. Hey, before we move on from rookie snap watch here, Quiddy Pay, 73%, up from 70. A lot of Quiddy love.
Yeah.
Got his first half sack, grading really well. Seems like he's coming on here at the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
What have you thought about him?
I think he's been great. I think he's the type of player that will really frustrate IDP managers because mm-hmm. he's playing really well.
Yeah.
He's just not producing. He's been a little nicked up. He actually, I think, said, screw it. I'm tired of not playing, so I'm going to play, essentially, like, was the quote. So I don't think it's this year for Quiddy.
Yeah.
But I think full off season, good season of game experience, you know, that looking into 2022, man, that's a great like sleeper candidate. Cause he is the guy. He is the guy on that defensive end group for the Colts.
Yeah. More like higher you pay.
Ooh.
What was that?
Higher you pay.
Higher you pay?
Yeah, no, you know, like you're quitty, like you'd quit.
Oh.
Or hiring.
Okay, I didn't.
I was it's better when you break it down.
I got it,
Adam.
I got it.
Like higher in the rankings, I was like, it's not lower pay.
No, though. Like we're going to hire him.
Okay.
Resume pay.
I'm with you. Resume pay.
We're not quitting pay.
I do like resume pay. That's really good.
Well, thanks, Bobby. I guess you just ruined my thing.
Your thing needed to be ruined. It needed to be salvaged.
Yeah, I think, man, I'm going to keep workshopping that.
I'll drop Connor. I made a drop just for Connor in honor of his son coming tonight, Addy. And after that joke, I have to give it to you.
I got
to
say, that dude stinks, baby.
That dude stinks, baby. That was in reference to Aaron Rodgers. But, Bob, I'll give you yours as well. A little preview here after that joke.
Not great, Bob.
Yeah. It wasn't great, Bob. It was not great. But, hey, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back here after these words from Manscaped. And when we come back, we're going to do a little who'd you get and a midway check-in. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
IDP flow, safety's in the box, no PO. Play like Dario, have you take home the gold like a C-3PO.
Ho, 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 gentlemen. The holidays came early here at Manscaped, the leading men's hygiene brand. Manscaped just launched new products, including their all-new Ultra Premium Body Wash and a 2-in-1 Shampoo and Conditioner. You heard Bobby giving that a sniff test at the beginning of the episode. It's legit. Check it out. Really, really good stuff for Manscaped. Their signature scent smells amazing. You're going to be masculine and your body is going to be hella clean. So check out these new products that they've got. They are legit. It's time to give yourself or someone who needs it the gift of beautiful skin, hair, and balls this holiday season. Go to manscaped.com and use promo code IDPSHOW for 20% off plus free shipping. Jingle balls to the walls, fellas. Listen up. Untrimmed pubes are a thing of the past, and it's possible you have Santa's beard in your pants. It's time to leave your significant other some cookies and milk at the bottom of your chimney. I am digging the hell out of all these Christmas puns about your dick and balls. I am talking about Manscaped's Performance Package 4.0. Inside the Performance Package 4.0, you'll find the signature Lawnmower 4.0. This electric trimmer has proprietary advanced skin-safe technology to reduce cuts on your nuts. That's one place you don't want blood. It's also waterproof, so you can use it in the shower. It's like a gift to your partner with less mess. The Manscaped Performance Package 4.0 also includes the Crop Preserver and Crop Reviver, an anti-chafing ball deodorant, moisturizer, and toner. It's time to keep your North Pole feeling and smelling fresh. Lord, I do love that anti-chafing ball deodorant. It is worth its weight in freaking gold. This hygiene bundle will also come with a pair of Manscaped anti-chafing boxers that'll keep your junk feeling fresh all day. These boxers are legit, y'all. The perfect package for your perfect package. Manscaped is going beyond the groin with their new Ultra Premium Body Wash. It's infused with aloe vera and sea salt to keep your skin feeling clean, nice, and moisturized. They also just launched their new 2-in-1 Shampoo and Conditioner, which has key ingredients with benefits that include hydrating, nourishing, conditioning the scalp, plus strengthening your hair at the same time, folks. It is the do-it-all shampoo and conditioner. Tis the season to load up on Manscaped products, so get yourself, your dad, your brother, and friends the best gift of all, the Manscaped Performance Package 4.0. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code IDPSHOW at manscaped.com. Every guy out there needs to add Manscaped to their wish list this season. So, get 20% off plus free shipping with the code IDPSHOW at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code IDPSHOW. Clean up your nuts and make Santa proud this year.
Y'all know what time it is. The boys is back.
All right, we're back, and to
hell no, to the no, 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 y'all just, all my life I've been both,
but it really don't matter no more.
Y'all just bringing that in, huh? Just going with it. I mean, I love it. Giving some love to Nappy Roots.
And they wonder where we at.
Hey, this their new album was pretty good.
It was good.
I enjoyed it tremendously.
It was good. A few really good songs.
Yeah, hey, I'm a fan of Donda. I like it.
Donda's good.
Yeah.
It's a great album.
You and Connie talked that maybe a month or so ago.
This is his best album in a while.
Yeah.
Did you listen to the new Lloyd Banks? I listened to a little bit of it.
No, I had no idea.
Lloyd Banks. It feels just like the original Lloyd Banks. I was a big Lloyd fan back in the day.
That new Kendrick Lamar.
That's coming too, right?
Oh, yeah. That Family Ties? Is that him?
I think so, yeah. He did something recently.
Anyways.
Music Talk.
New Young Thug, really good.
Oh, yeah.
How you do, fellow kids?
How do you do, fellow kids? I could talk some TV. Spider-Man trailer dropped tonight.
Mm-hmm.
John's not watching it, so don't send John. Everyone send John the Spider-Man trailer.
I'm doing it right now.
I'm sorry, John. I shouldn't have done that. He's going to be so mad now. He's trying to avoid spoilers.
What's the new one about?
I'm not even going to try to explain it to you, but there's a lot of cameos from former Spider-Man and Spider-Man villains, so...
There's way more Spider-Man.
There's you know, the Spider-Man pointing meme? That's this movie. Like, that's the synopsis.
Okay. So, I understand that.
Yeah, that, if you can understand
I
that.
I speak Geth, right?
So, if you want to watch, Addy, because you... Silas is into, like, superheroes and stuff. He's Black Panther for Halloween.
That's also, though, he's going through a big cat phase, right? He likes jaguars, cheetahs.
Oh, cool.
So that was really more about
seeing all the cat. Okay.
Him liking cats.
Him liking cats.
C-A-T-S.
Yes, sir.
Big game cats, though, not like house cats, right?
Exactly right.
Okay.
No little Siamese, no little Maine Coons, no thank you.
No little hairless.
Punt those.
Cheshire cats.
Yes, sir. No thank you.
You grin like a Cheshire cat.
Sure.
But you is not one.
Sure.
But the best Spider-Man movie, probably the best superhero movie of all time, in my opinion, is Into the Spider-Verse. And it is I think, maybe just a little bit older than what Silas is now, maybe in that 6 to 7 range. I think that's the best Spider-Man movie, best superhero movie, and it's animated, so it's great for the kids.
Yeah, it's about time to get him into that stuff, I think.
Mm-hmm. Take a look. I think you would enjoy it as well. It's a great movie. It's very funny.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of spider people in that movie as well.
Nice.
So it's a good primer for this one.
My son's just been putting his Hulk outfit all the time and just destroying everything in the house.
That's good. That's what Hulk does.
Just Hulk smash.
Hulk smashing.
And then just beating the mess out of pumpkins.
You got to tell him, too. Hulk has recently become, like, smart Professor Hulk. So he gets his homework done and does his, you know, his math problems. That's what Hulk does as well.
Yeah, my boy's been acting too much like we watched a little Spidey the other day. And there's a guy in there who dressed up like Hulk. And he was being bad Hulk. And I was trying to explain to him. I was like, look, Hulk can be good. We don't have to just beat the heck out of your sister.
It's not just a bunch of anger and smashing mommy's flower pots.
Hey, so going back to last week's episode, yes, we did go to Dolly Parton's.
I was going
to
say. Sir, okay.
Dollywood.
So
Christmas. I don't even know what it's called.
Spectacular?
It was like a, I don't even think I can say the word on here. The word's been canceled. But now it's like Dolly Parton's.
I'm looking this up.
Horse show.
Dolly Parton's Christmas Stampede?
It used to be called, Stampede. I don't remember what it
That's
used to
what
be
it
called.
Says, yeah.
Dixie Stampede?
Yeah, something like that. But so you are correct. They do serve you an entire Cornish hen.
Oh, my gosh.
which I polished off, by the way.
Did you?
It was good. It was real good. The potatoes were all right.
So everyone in the family got one of these hens.
The whole family, got
hens.
So
that's a lot of hens.
So between us, I'm not a big Christmas guy. I don't really like Christmas.
Killing these things out behind.
So it's really
weird.
How
many hens had to die for this show?
Oh, dude, there's probably 500 to 1,000 people there.
Dolly's in there cutting heads off.
We know what Dolly's doing. Everybody loves Dolly, but they don't see her with them hens.
Hey, I'm a big Dolly fan. We get a free... If you're not into this, you need to check it out online. I'm sure it's somewhere. But we get a free book from Dolly Parton.
Yes.
I think it's like once a
month. Library.
Wow. Both kids
Max
get them.
Max gets it as well.
They spend a ton of money every year giving books to the kids.
But then she's back there cutting them heads off and drinking the blood.
She does though hate some Cornish hens. Addy would love it. You being a chicken boy.
Yes, sir.
Real nice.
What was side we talking?
So we got some potatoes.
Sure.
Mashed, roasted.
Actually, like roasted halves.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
We got some corn on the cob.
Yeah.
Biscuits. We got a little bit of potato soup. Yes, sir.
Sweet.
You're making me way, way too horny right sweet now, tea. And you got to cut that out.
And then we finished it off with a little apple turnover.
Okay. That's a good meal right there.
A little moonshine.
Yes, sir.
How was the entertainment, though?
It was as expected. It was great for my wife. My kids loved it.
I will say.
Made some trades on RSS. Yes.
Do you ride any rides?
No, this is...
I'm not a big ride guy.
It's a different place from Dollywood, right? Or is it at Dollywood?
No, so this is on, like, the main drag of Pigeon Forge. It's okay, also ironic to me. We spent a day, like, I don't know. I'm more of, like, a outdoors, like, hike. Like, let's get out of the touristy type stuff. So we went up to the national park, did that. The kids freaking loved it, man. If you haven't been to the Smokies in, like, any time, honestly, it's a great area.
Pigeon Forge.
But it is weird that, like, a beautiful mountain, like, also brought about, like, Dolly Parton's Dolly World and, like, Alpine's, I mean, it's just touristy. There's fun things.
Gotta go to Paula Deen's.
Paula Deen's.
Paula Deen's is amazing. If y'all have never been,
that's a bad take, Josh. I've been there and it made me sicker than a dog.
Well, I hate that you got food poisoning, but
family style, you all pass back each other's plates.
Yeah, we went in the area of COVID, so that
passed me the con.
It's so good. Oh my God, it's so good.
So we did the not this time, but a couple times back, we did the the big round thing.
The Ferris wheel?
There you go.
Yes, sir.
That's terrifying, Josh.
Oh, yeah. It's a big old Ferris wheel up there.
We did the Ferris wheel in Seattle. We're like way, way, way. It's a huge Ferris wheel. I'm terrified of heights. Like, I was literally white knuckling.
Because the glass floor in those little cabs, whatever, they're all air conditioned and everything, but still terrified me.
Now, I will say, I don't know about Dolly's Dixie Stampede or whatever cancel-worthy name she has for that, but Dolly World itself is very fun.
Yeah, they all wanted to
great go. Great park for kids. If you want to test drive to see how would my kids do if we went to, like, Disney World, don't go to Disney World first. Go to Dolly World.
Go to Beach Bend.
We saw six.
Go to Beach Bend. Don't ever go to Beach
Bend. Amen. Get you a drag car. I'll see you down there. We saw six bears.
Wow.
God, that's a lot of bears.
So I was laid down one night, like, taking a nap or watching some NFL or something, not with everybody else. My dad's hollering, like, where's everybody at? And I was like, what's going on? So it's about pitch black outside. Low key, there's just a freaking, and this was like mama bear, like not baby bear, uh-oh, just walking down the street, 20 feet probably from the house, just like on patrol.
Were y'all like a cabin kind of off the drag a little bit?
Cabin probably 15 miles like off the drag, okay, like so up in the hills.
Y'all were in bear country though.
Oh, dude.
There's no bears walking down like the main drag in Gatlinburg.
This was literally the first trip I've ever seen some bears. And I sent y'all a couple videos.
Like, it was scary.
I was 10 feet or so from a couple of them. I was glad I was in a vehicle. Like I
don't want to mess with that.
Even a little one would mess you up pretty hard.
Yeah, I don't want to have to deal with bears.
So that was Pigeon Forge talk for you
Pigeon
guys.
Forge talk. Yeah. All right, I piggybacking off of that, I think, beautifully, it is time for everyone's favorite game show.
Who did?
No! God! I just watched, like, the micro, the board's like, what? Does not compute. Help. Oh, man. I'm like, which way is he taking this? I saw you rear back and take a big breath. I was like, oh, boy, here we go.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Prepare
no.
yourself, Brody.
Scream so hard you might have just let one fly accidentally.
Yes, I need to be excused. May I be excused?
No, you may not. You can sit in that stink for a little bit. All right. Bobo, why don't you kick us off here? You got several trades in the dock.
This is the last 2 week of trades. So I moved. This was pre-Broken Jaw, pre-Kanye.
Through the wire,
Montez Sweat for Emmanuel Ogba and Mike Gesicki. I moved Josh Sweat for Tony Pollard. I moved Tyler Higbee for a 2023 fifth. This was the big trade that kind of happened this week that was kind of all grouped together. But I moved Harold Landry and Jordan Poyer for a 23 second, third, fourth, and John Johnson. I then moved that fourth for Marcus Golden. I moved the third for Kari Willis. And I moved Cortland Sutton, Van Jefferson, the second and the fifth for Derrick Henry and Trey Hendrickson.
Some big boys in here, Addy. So basically you turned Harold Landry and Jordan Poyer into
John Johnson,
Marcus Golden, Kari Willis in a 2023 second.
No, Derrick Henry and Trey Hendrickson.
Oh, that's right, because you flipped that second and a fifth.
Yes.
So
Landry and Poyer, John Johnson.
It's like the movie Memento, trying to piece together.
Break that down again.
Do
that again. What was this essentially?
I moved Harold Landry and Jordan Poyer for John Johnson, Marcus Golden, Kari Willis, Derrick Henry, and Trey Hendrickson.
But you also moved Cortland Sutton and Van Jefferson.
Oh, yeah, correct,
as well.
correct.
So there you go.
Yeah.
It's a lot of moving pieces.
It's a lot of pieces.
Yeah.
So what's your
salary
rationale?
Salary-wise, did you take on a lot more salary or anything like that?
So if you know RSO, Cortland Sutton was really cheap this year. He's like $4 million, but he had the fifth-year rookie option, which went to like $30 million next year.
Ooh, that's steep.
Harold Landry expiring. Jordan Poyer expiring. So is Kari Willis, but he may get extended. We'll see what that number looks like, which actually is up. I need to check that out. Marcus Golden is expiring, which I'm fine with. I think John Johnson's expiring, but Derrick Henry and Trey Hendrickson are tied up for a couple years. Henry's about 20 mil. Hendrickson's cheap. He's like 2 million.
Henry's the big piece of this for me, right?
Yeah.
And I'm curious here because everything I've seen is that Henry, it seems like when he comes back, might be after the fantasy playoffs. Have you seen something different?
No. So, I mean, that's essentially what it boils down to as well, but honestly, more of what I saw it as, Landry and Poyer are expiring. I'm not going to be able to keep them. I have been paying attention to Marcus Golden ever since Addy kind of started pumping him up. So in RSO, Harold Landry, after last week, was the LB4. Jordan Poyer was the LB4, and they both actually had good weeks as well. Marcus Golden is like the LB12 right now, so it's not too big of a drop. Kari Willis is probably going to be back within maybe like the next couple weeks, possibly. I know he went on IR early November. John Johnson's whatever. I've got some depth at linebacker and safety, so I was okay to move those guys. But I kind of wanted to move Cortland Sutton and Van Jefferson. Van Jefferson looked garb last night.
Chewy, yes.
Drop Jefferson.
Butterfingers.
Yeah, he had the quickest like drop off and then bounced right. It's like he jumped off onto a trampoline because he dropped when OBJ came in. Yeah. And then as soon as Robert Woods got injured with the ACL, bounced right back up into that three spot, but did not look good. And then Cortland Sutton, if he's like, I think he's like $28 million next year, I saw.
A lot.
So that's a lot. Kari should be back, and I think, as we've seen, he's a top 12 safety when he's healthy.
It didn't make sense for me because I'm a pretty good team in this division or in this league. And it looks like a trade for somebody who is looking towards the future.
The future, yeah.
But I think contractually, it made sense for me to do this.
I'm sad that you're no longer the sweaty boys.
Oh, that's happened a while back. Montez and Josh Sweat. I don't know. I was okay to move off Montez, especially seeing how many double teams that Chase Young had been soaking up, and all Sweat had to do was just beat one-on-one. And Joshua's been disappointing. He has not been bad, but he's also just been kind of meddling.
That's most defensive ends, I feel like.
But
just
I do.
Been sort of,
I like that move. I like that move as well, though, for Emmanuel Ogba and Gesicki. Gesicki got extended. I think he's like $6 million a year now after this year. And then Ogba's been fine as well. I mean, Ogba's been a solid DN2 this year. He's had some games where he doesn't do a whole lot, and then he's had some games where he'll score 15, 20 points. So, I don't know. I'm projecting right now. I have a little bit of a decent record in here, and so I'm not so much worried about this week as much as I am trying to
stockpile it for the
trying to look for the playoffs.
Run. There you go.
I'm also not off Henry, I guess is what it boils down to as well. I think Henry's still got years left.
Oh, yeah. I think he'll be at least have another year or two of maybe not like peak
for sure
dominance like we've seen, but definitely top five, top six running back in the league caliber.
I think he's going to keep eating.
Addy?
Addy, you don't like it.
You had some moves as well, I believe.
I sure did. All right. So yeah, I've put myself into contention here with some of these trades I've made. So
you suddenly are running back university.
I am.
The main campus.
I'll tell you after you talk to your trades. Go ahead and continue. Sure.
Okay. All right. Well, the first big move I made was acquiring Darren Waller. I traded a 2023 first, a 2023 second, and Deron Payne for Darren Waller and a 2023 fourth.
Which first were those? Do you know whose those were?
Probably yours, right?
They were.
You had acquired some 2023 picks.
One of them was, well, it was Nico's. It was his own first.
I got you.
And I traded my other one was mine.
So love you, Sneeko, but that could be a higher first.
That could be a high pick.
Yeah.
So I'm rebuilding. Curious why Waller.
Because I'm not gonna trade with Bobby on that one. I'm not gonna get Kittle from Bobby.
You're going after one of the top four guys.
I've already tried to get Mark Andrews forever.
Yeah.
Zach not moving off him.
Kelsey going to cost double this.
Also, I don't want to give a first to Bobby or Ben Zach. I don't want to give a first to those guys. Their roster is already good enough. I don't need
good call.
They don't need
people
to.
Don't pay attention to that enough in fantasy. Like who are we trading with here?
Yeah, yeah. You need to think about who you're setting up as well.
Yeah, don't set up the good teams for more success.
Yeah. So me and Nico, we made sense and. Yeah, got him from Nico, and then I turned around the next day.
Hold on, I'm curious here. Okay, so had those, it was a first, a second, and a fifth?
A first, a second, Daron Payne, or Darren Waller, and a fourth.
And a fourth. If it had been 2022 picks, do you make that deal?
Probably.
Probably more so.
Because the 2022 class is...
Yeah, not supposed to be not,
I mean, yeah. I know our boy Evan... talks about it in his newest big game theory.
That's why I was asking, just because 2022 picks are more valuable because...
And he made a good point. He likened it to fast cars, right? You get to step on the gas a year sooner with the 2022.
Right. Yeah.
But all classes aren't equal.
Yeah, that is right? True.
So even if you get step on it earlier, they could end up being meh. Yeah. After that first year, right? And there doesn't seem like there's any, elite tier assets.
Yeah, I think 2022, you're going to see some of these third, fourth, fifth rounders where people are just like, please, just
Like tickets to a preseason game, just take these off my hands, please.
There's also another thing that I thought about as well is, is the depth of these picks maybe ruining some leagues? In some of these 2022 drafts where, let's just say the fourth and the fifth round is full of just, guys who get cut, and aren't even on active rosters, so then essentially you have to cut them and you get a dead cap hit, for however many million they're going to be.
And leagues like that, yeah, it does make those late round picks, yeah.
And just because we love rookies and because we're degenerates, don't hear us say that we don't, love rookies, but I'm concerned about 2022. I don't want any picks. If you want to give me an early first or something, I'll hold on to it. But aside from that, I don't know.
I don't see a world in which there's just no valuable players entire class.
It just seems like it's going to be hard to find them.
Is there? I mean, there'll be 18 guys, right, that are worth drafting in, the top
maybe
first round
and a half.
There'll
be some fine IDP pieces as well. That'll help. But
Be a lot more IDPs taken in the 2022 class.
But as far as, stud running backs, I don't think there's...
But think about that. That's a round and a half.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
And then there's 3.5 rounds of people you don't want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways. Something to think about.
I was just curious if it had been 2022 instead of 2023.
Well, I've already traded a 2022 first as well, which is going to be pretty high. I traded that for Jamal Adams, who finally had a nice game.
Yeah.
But boy, that was looking like really bad there for a little bit. Mm-hmm. It's still not great, but probably should have held on that, but whatever.
Not great, Bob.
We're going for it, right?
Not great, Bob.
Not great, Bob. Jamal Adams season in a nutshell.
So the tight end, my tight end situation, I had Rob Gronkowski, who I traded for the week before he broke all of his ribs and punctured his lung. So that's been great. I also have Tyler Conklin, who's been a very pleasant surprise.
And you had Irv before that.
I had Irv, who's been on IR all year. So yeah, I've just been scrambling for tight. So I was just like, forget this.
I'm getting Waller.
Give me a tight end.
You at least know Waller's going to be on the field, going to be highly targeted.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll get hurt next week or whatever.
Yeah, he'll get martied from Not Another Teen Movie, right. Split in half.
Right. But, okay, so the next move I make, another big boy one. I trade the other 2023 first I had and a 2023 fourth, Laviska Shenault.
Ooh.
My baby.
Visca, the drip lord.
Yeah, and then some other pieces. Kenny Nwangu's in here. Jordan Whitehead, who he immediately cut.
Yeah.
Four, Mr. Nick Chubb in a 2023 fifth.
That's pretty nice. I think anytime you can acquire an in their prime running back.
I think so, right?
I think I make that trade.
Chubb is, to me, running back-wise, the best running back. If you're talking about strictly running the ball, he's the best. Him and Henry.
Yeah, I agree with that. I put them on the same tier.
And Jonathan Taylor, he's pretty damn special too. Okay, yeah. I need to probably put him in the mix. DeAndre Swift's more of the total back, right?
The
receiving, all that.
But old school 1980 running back.
Run the ball. Yeah. We want Nick Chubb. We want Derrick Henry. We want Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think, I think he's going to be like Henry. I think he's still going to be relevant till he's like 28, 29, 30, right?
I mean,
I just feel like he's going to be that type. So, yeah, I'm not worried about him really from a dynasty perspective. I felt like that was actually a really fair price to get him.
And this was after – I don't think this is the one of the ones you're going to talk about because I think it was an older one. You picked up Josh Jacobs as well.
Yeah, I did do that. That's right, yeah.
So you've got Jacobs.
I've got
Nick Chubb.
Brought Saquon back this week.
Saquon off IR.
DeAndre Swift. Yeah, we're in good shape.
It's RBU.
And Michael Carter.
Hey, but what's your damn motto?
Running backs don't matter? What happened, Daddy? Hey, you got to stay water, as the ballers like to say.
Some of them I like, though. Some of them do matter.
Sure.
I've got the ones that I think matter.
Did you have the pathetic gif that everyone likes to use of Jared from Silicon Valley looking out the window all sad? Was that Visca after you traded him away, looking back into the big pick lover locker room?
That was really tough, man. That was tough. Luckily, I have him pretty much everywhere else. But yes, that's, you know, the XFFL, that league is a lot more special. I feel like those rosters matter the most to me, right?
Did it hinge on Visca? Like, how much of the conversation was about him?
Bobby's already scouting.
No.
He wants to go get Visca.
It wasn't. I mean, really, it was just like.
He wants a pick plus a sexy young.
Right.
Player probably,
and he's a little bit of cap,
a little bit, and he wasn't bad though. He was a second round pick. Remember,
he was like $2 million, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was cheap.
Oh wow,
he was cheap. Where Chubb's going to be like $20 million next year.
That's not bad.
Whatever,
it's not bad.
But
yeah. RBU, I'm happy with it.
We got a really solid lineup now offensively.
Henry at 20, Chubb at $18 million. You pay that all day long.
Yeah, and Saquon's going to be there too.
Henry with the bone, you know, in his foot or whatever, that doesn't worry me. Like, you get him healthy, and then
he'll be
just
fine.
Run him again into oblivion.
Yeah. Carson Wentz and Quentin Nelson both came back from weird bone removal things as well. Bones, I'm not as worried about. It's tendons.
But
tell
me, you know, running back's just weird, man. Like, it's weird. And when you got one that you like, you better hold on to him, at least in Dynasty, because been a funky year for running backs. You know, you got Dalvin Cook, who looks like he might be in some legal trouble here soon. Alvin Kamara looks bad without Drew Brees. Mm-hmm. He's been a little bit banged up.
He's banged up right now.
Got the mullet.
James Robinson, who I actually like, has been banged up as well. I mean, it's been a, you know, San Francisco seems like they're running a ton of guys now. There's a ton of RBBCs around, the Jets. Kenny Gainwell can't get any play. It's you know. Weird out there in the streets.
It's been a weird fantasy season. It's been a weird NFL season, though, too.
Yeah.
I mean.
Boys, that's just the norm, though. It's prepare for weirdness. It's been weird for a long time now.
This is the time frame
what
where,
makes this season really weird in terms of just NFL is we've seen some really good, what we thought were good teams, lay some stinkers in a big spot. And I think that's what is the weirdest thing for me is I don't feel like we've seen that in years past as much.
We're definitely in the war of attrition type portion of the fantasy and the NFL season.
Well, and the COVID stuff.
Sure.
All team, you know, players just randomly missing weeks all of a sudden.
Because
I mean, that's a, you know, a wrench we've never had to deal with until these last few years. And it's, you know, it's messing things up still. So
sure.
Yeah.
Whole Mike White season, I guess that's over.
No, that was
fun while it lasted. You could just kind of feel it. Like, guys like Mike White is a WKU legend, like, great player, but, like...
Best defense in
the NFL,
probably.
Let's pump the brakes on saying, like, this guy should be a number one. Like, he said, I should have been a number one overall pick, and it's like, Mike...
Did Mike say that?
Yeah, I think he said that.
I saw
Pretty Zach, sure he said that.
Zach Wilson said he could learn some things from Mike White.
How to not wear a freaking headband.
Oh, yeah, You ain't earned it.
Well, did you all see the report? I think it was from Rappaport that said if Mike White plays well, he could be the starter. I'm like, guys, what are we doing here?
Yeah. I quote tweeted it with the flame eyes.
Let's calm down, like, just a little bit. And, it flamed out. I wanted to read this Kevin Clark tweet. It was probably my favorite tweet of the weekend because I got to watch the Jags for an entire game. Good God, they're bad. But Kevin Clark said, in retrospect, hiring a guy who appears to stare into the abyss and plunge to the deepest circle of hell every time his team makes an error to coach the Jacksonville Jaguars was a mistake.
It's hilarious to watch that.
It is just like Urban. It just looks like he's like a prisoner of war.
Yeah. They don't want to be there.
He's a hostage.
It's like, are you coaching, bro? Like, say something, man.
Yeah.
Every time you just look over and he's like hands on his knees, just like looking straight down. You're like looking at the top of the headset on his head.
Somebody
animated that into the Jaguars logo. If you haven't looked this up, just Google like Urban Meyer Jaguars logo. It's fantastic.
Oh my gosh.
So there you go. Weird year. Let's talk about midway check-in, boys. This is just taking a peek-ski at who is sitting in the top 12 right now. And Bob, before we get into this, I think you wanted to have a little diatribe here against this kind of paradigm we'd built up of gauging players by top 12.
Yeah, man.
Is that right?
Yeah, I'm not so sure that methodology really works this year. I'm trying to get on RSO and actually kind of look and see the XFFL, like look and see what some of our top 12 producers and everything are really doing. But, you know, that metric, I understand the reasoning behind it as far as most of your dynasty or redraft leagues have 10 to 12, you know, players in them. And you're looking at, well, you know, you've got a player one, you know, potentially for your team, or an LB2 or a safety three or whatever they might be. But, I mean, you really look this year, and you know, this is more a question for you guys as far as we, you know, before we get into this conversation about outside of, me and Josh got into this in Slack earlier, but outside of Myles Garrett, outside of Roquan, outside of Derwin James, Aaron Donald, who am I missing here? Trayvon Diggs.
T.J. Watt.
T.J. Watt's been really good.
I think
outside of just your showcase guys, who has been just a really solid LB1 or even especially safety one?
I think what makes the top 12 thing tough is that it's an end of the year benchmark.
Sure.
And so to try to apply it throughout the season is really hard because guys have bad weeks and drop out of the top 12.
Yeah.
And come back into the top 12 and then fade just as quickly. And especially early in the season, those big blow-up games tend to push guys up more than they should be because there's not a lot of points that have been scored yet. So I think that's the tension we're feeling is like, is this guy a top 12 linebacker? Probably not. We're going into week 11.
That's why I've always said I love the points per game stuff.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're talking about this. I went through and put all those in order today.
Wow.
You guys want to hear the top 12 points per game?
Top 12 points per game.
Edge guys?
Let's go. Let's hear it.
This is defensive lineman too, I think. Yeah. All right, TJ Watt, 27.4.
You said he was doing about 28, and I was like, that can't be right.
It's right.
That's right on.
27.4 for TJ Watt. Absurd. Yeah. That's the highest I've seen since I've been doing this. Myles Garrett, 19.6. So, I mean, that's a 7 point per game difference, almost
huge
8 points per
drop
game.
Off.
Yeah, so TJ Watt is the cheat code this year.
He was last year.
He's been the last 3 years.
Yeah. We said, oh, he'll regress. There's no way. Yeah. Like, there's no way that he can keep, and he did even better.
Yeah, you cannot doubt TJ Watt.
Which has been wild.
So, Myles Garrett, 19.6. Nick Bosa, 18.3. Harold Landry, 17.9. This one's really surprising. Jonathan Greenard, 17.5. That's the fifth best among all edge and interior defensive linemen.
Did you do any sort of, like, minimum games on this? Or was it just...
No, but for the most part, I took out anyone that was weird.
Well, weird or,
you know,
outlier. Okay.
Like a you know, two-game sample size. Mm-hmm. So, Johnson Grenard, 17.5. Again, that was fifth. Then sixth, we have Hassan Reddick at 16.8. Cameron Hayward, 16.6. Just having a fantastic year. Josh Allen is eighth best at 16.3. Matt Judon, 15.6. Danielle Hunter, he's still on here, 15.4. Marcus Golden, 14.9. Chandler Jones, 14.3.
Chandler Jones still in there.
He's still in there, right? But he's still skating off that
66 point whatever first week.
Let's do three more. Marcus Davenport, 14.3. Again, kind of a smaller sample size. I think he's played about six games so far. Aaron Donald, 14.3. Mm-hmm. Jeffrey Simmons has made his way up this list with his last two games where he's averaged 33.5 points per game over his last
sheesh.
Two. So he's at 14.1 on the year.
So right now in RSO, Jeffrey Simmons is 138 points on the year. Aaron Donald, 133.
Where do those rank, though?
2 and 3. Cam Hayward is the D-tackle one right now.
Yeah, I was going to go through this here. The list matches pretty close to what the top 12 is from what you just read. So TJ Watt at 1, Myles Garrett 2, Harold Landry 3, Hassan Reddick 4, Nick Bosa 5, Matt Judon 6, Cam Hayward 7, that's our D-tackle 1, Marcus Golden 8, Josh Allen 9, Aaron Donald 10, that's our D-tackle 2, Jeffrey Simmons 11, D-tackle 3, and Brian Burns rounding out the top 12.
So pretty much right on, yeah.
Yeah, pretty close. There were a couple little kind of weird outliers that snuck in there.
Yeah, Burns is at 13.6 points per game.
Yep. So the one that you just mentioned, Bobbo, where I think both you guys brought up was Jeffrey Simmons, wasn't inside the top 24 in week five. He has scored 64% of his points in week six through 10.
Yeah.
He's really come on strong.
That's a good D-line.
Yes.
He's got a lot of help there as well.
Mm-hmm.
Autry has looked good this year. Bud Dupree has been good at times. Who else? Who am I missing? Somebody else there that's good as well.
Oh, Kevin Byard.
There we go. Byard's been fine. Anyways, I thought there was one more I'm trying to pay attention to.
Danico Autry?
Oh, Danico Autry.
Yeah, Autry's been okay.
Autry's been
good. He let you down last week, didn't he?
He did. He didn't do a whole lot. We still got...
No way he's disappointed.
We got what we needed. But yeah, you're right, Josh. So, Jeffrey Simmons, week four, 11 points, then 11, then 17, then two down weeks, 3 and 2, but then week 9, 36 points, week 10, 28 points.
Sheesh!
3 sacks in week 9, 2 sacks in week 10, so... Crazy.
So, and just as far as movement goes here, I wanted Aaron to pull in, like, how have these guys moved? Just to show you, there is some stability, but there's also a lot of fluctuation.
Sure.
Just from week 5 through the end of week 10. TJ Watt, this time in week 5, was DL9. He's up to 1. So he's obviously had a great second half here. Miles Garrett only went down 1 spot from DL1 to DL2. Harold Landry went up 3 spots from DL6 to DL3. Hassan Reddick went up 4 spots from DL8 to DL4. Nick Bosa, I love it when it's just guys are in the exact same spot. It's like they're entrenched there. He was DL5. He's DL5 again. Matt Judon went down. We kind of figured this would happen, Bobbo. Sure. He was DL2 last time we did this exercise. Sitting is DL6, though, so still having a nice season.
Yeah.
Cam Hayward, he was up 8 spots from DL15 and up 3 spots from D-tackle 4 to now be the D-tackle 1. Marcus Golden was the big riser as well. He was not inside the top 24 last time we did this. He has scored 69% of his points in weeks 6 through 10. Another one, Josh Allen, has come on really strong. He was not inside the top 24 either. He has scored 63% of his points in weeks 6 through 10. Aaron Donald, again, weirdly entrenched in that DL10, D-tackle 2 spot. Jeffrey Simmons, as we mentioned, was not top 24. And then Brian Burns up 7 spots from DL19. So you can see how these things move. We actually saw quite a few guys, about 3 or 4 guys there, move into the top 12.
Yeah.
So Bobby kind of backs up your point. This is such a fluid thing.
Yeah.
It's weird to call a guy a top 12 because in actuality, there's probably about 6 guys, mm-hmm. 5 guys for each position that you could call top 12.
Well, and if you look on, if you go by RSO, so the LB5 right now is Micah Parsons. He has 152 points on the season. If you look at about the LB15, you're down here to about DeMario Davis. There's about an 18-point difference between the LB5 and the LB15 right now. So, I mean...
The margin is thin.
You're splitting hairs.
Tom has always talked about how the difference between top 6 and number 18 at some positions, like he always highlights safety, is such a thin margin. Like, it's not like it's this chasm. Sometimes it is. Sometimes, like, D-tackle, you know, or cornerbacks, there is a big gap between those top guys. But you're right. I mean, drop down 10 spots, it's not like it's a 50-point gap.
So who is the linebacker that's been the most, I guess the least fluid, that's been the most solid?
It's Roquan.
You think so?
Absolutely.
What do you think, Addy?
Yeah, Roquan's pretty hard to beat. But, man, I mean – Michael Parsons has been really good.
Yeah.
Eric Kendricks has been really good.
Kendricks has been great. He's actually sitting as LB1 right now.
Parsons does have he's had a couple up and down games, but especially those last 3 weeks, 27 points, 37 points, 21 points.
Sheesh. Yeah.
29.3 points per game over his last 3, Michael Parsons.
Wow. Yeah. And I wanted Aaron to pull guys outside the top 12 that we should watch. You actually mentioned a few of them here on the D line, Addy. Jonathan Greenard. 20.95 points per game the last 5 weeks, 57% of snaps as well the last 5 weeks. Unique Ngakoue, 16.2 points per game. Leonard Williams, 16.2 points per game. Trey Hendrickson, 15.8. And Marcus Davenport, 13.82 points per game the last 4 weeks since returning from injury. These guys are coming on strong. So They may not be showing up high necessarily in the top 12 rankings, but playing well as of late.
I like that. I can add a few more for that as well. Rashawn Gary, another. I mean, he's injured now, but he was coming on very strong. 14.9 points per game over his last four sacks in that span as well. Alex Highsmith averaging 15.2 points per game over his last four.
Which we kind of figured would happen with
Ingram leaving town.
Ingram getting the boot.
Malik Reed averaging 20.5 points per game over his last two. We know about Jonathan Cooper. I don't have his numbers put up pulled up here, but he's been really good too recently. So, yeah, those are some guys that are coming on strong lately.
Yep. So let's move to linebacker, Bobbo. And do you have the linebackers by points per game as well?
I do.
Hit us with it then.
Okay. Well, I just put this up top for S's and G's, right? You get what I'm saying?
Bobby, help me.
I'm lost there, Joshy.
Smiles and grins? Oh, S's
there
and G's.
There you go. There you go. Dre Greenlaw.
Drew Greenlab.
Gray Dreenlaw. I said that on one of the episodes. I think the first time I did with Johnny, I really was struggling with Gray Dreenlaw. Yeah.
One more time, Gray Dreenlaw.
That's what it was, Gray Dreenlaw.
Which sounds like a doctor that is like going to do a nose job for you.
I like it better, actually.
Going over to see Gray.
Yeah, anyway.
Dr. Dreenlaw? He did my nose. It's fantastic.
Hey, don't forget about Gray.
Yeah.
Bobby.
Stop it.
You're in trouble. All right, Dre Greenlaw, 26.4 points per game. But, of course, one game. One game, boys. He's only played one game. So.
But that was a really good
game. It was a hell of a game.
It was a hell of a game.
He won you that week.
I think he had a pick six, maybe.
We're not going to forget about you, Dre.
Anyway, Azeez Alshier, shout out, been very good lately.
He is on the list here.
Your boy called that one out. So, Eric Kendricks, 19 points per game. He's the true number one here, guys. Eric Kendricks, 19 points per game. Micah Parsons, 18.9.
So, right behind him.
I mentioned 29.3 over his last three. Shaq Thompson, 18.3 points per game. He's averaging 21.8 over his last three since he returned. Roquan Smith, 18.3. Logan Wilson, 16.2. Demario Davis, 16.2. This is sixth best at this point. Foyseed Oluwakon, he's eighth with 16.1 points per game. Deion Jones, right behind him, with 15.8 points per game. Devin White got on this list because of his monster week.
I was going to say his 45-point game.
Yep, he is ninth with 15.7 points per game. Devondre Campbell, quite a surprise, 15.3. Darius Leonard, 14.8 at 11. Bobby Wagner, 14.3 at 12. David Long, 14.1 at 13. He's averaging 18 points per game over his last five. Denzel Perryman is at 14.1 as well. And then Cole Holcomb, 15th with 13.7. However, Cole Holcomb, 7.3 points per game over his last three.
Coincides with Jamin getting more playing time.
But it's still pretty impressive that Cole's still in the top 15.
Yeah. Two guys that you mentioned not in the top 12 at the moment, but two that aren't pulled. Shaq Thompson, 21.83 points per game the last 3 weeks since returning from injury.
Mm-hmm.
He's been great. 71% of snaps since returning from injury.
That's single digit.
And then Azeez Alshier is 11.84 points per game the last five games, 95% of snaps.
Let's go.
So playing a lot.
But Gray's coming back.
Gray is coming back.
Gray will be back. Mister,
he's got his nose jobs done, and he's ready to go. Mm-hmm. So the top 12 follows that pretty closely. Eric Kendricks, LB1. Two is Micah Parsons. Then Roquan Smith. Then Devondre Campbell. Then Darius Leonard at 5. Demario Davis at 6. Logan Wilson at 7. Foyseed Oluwakon at 8. Deion Jones at 9. Still bizarre to me the Atlanta Falcons have two top 10 linebackers. I will never get over that. Deion Jones at 9. Devin White at 10. Jordan Hicks at 11, and Bobby Wagner at 12.
Hmm. So what are we learning?
Linebacker, I recognize a lot of these names. Mm-hmm. I feel like this is
much more solid year.
I would agree with that. This top 12, as it stands right now, does not seem like super wacky. There's nobody on this list. I'm like, what the hell are you doing here?
Let me re-ask you boys a question. Micah Parsons, You're the defensive coordinator. Are you leaving him a DN? Are you moving him back to linebacker? I'm leaving his ass
on the edge,
baby.
Thank
you, Adam.
It's not, I mean, it's not even close. Joshy. And it don't matter for IDP production.
Joshy?
Oh, I just don't change him to a DN in IDP.
Yeah, that's fine. But, I mean, it would matter.
Yeah.
It'd be, I mean, that's a really hard position to figure out.
Yeah.
I'd be fine with him at edge.
Your boy has proved that point. Also, the Joey Bosa owner needs to pay attention to that. Bosa have been dropping back in coverage a little bit.
So we like to give the movement here so you all can see. I bet you we won't see as many guys that have jumped up here. So Kendricks just moved up two spots. He was the LB3. Now he's the LB1. Micah Parsons moved up six spots from LB8.
Have y'all watched any Dallas games?
Has
LVE been bad? Because I know Jabril Cox is on IR. Keanu Neal, is he still playing? I know he...
I haven't watched enough to be able to say
they're not getting the snaps are not great. They're like... below 50%.
Neal and LVE both, right? Like, yeah.
Just kind of wondering.
I haven't been keeping up with him.
Parsons is the only one with the snaps.
Neither on my radar.
Yeah.
Xavier Woods.
Roquan Smith down two spots from LB1. Devondre Campbell up one spot from LB5. Darius Leonard up four spots from LB9 to LB5. DeMario Davis up one spot from LB7 to LB6. Logan Wilson jumped two spots. I'm sorry, down five spots. He was the LB2 last time we did this.
Yeah.
Foyse Aluakun was up four spots from the LB12. Deion Jones was outside the top 12, has jumped in. He was 16. He is now 9. Devin White was the one, surprisingly enough, that was not top 24.
And what did we tell you?
Be patient.
What did we tell you?
He has scored 67% of his points in weeks 6 through 10. Jordan Hicks was not in the top 24 either. He has scored 57% of his points the past weeks 6 through 10. And Bobby Wagner was down eight spots from LB4. So you had two guys, only two guys at linebacker jump up into the top 12 from week 5 to week 10. Kind of interesting. Like Bobby said, a little more stable position this year than what we typically see.
And we see a lot of what in there? Vets.
Yep, exactly.
A lot of... don't reach either.
Yeah, a lot of great values.
Hang out and grab Devondre Campbell.
Devondre Campbell.
Go trade like Demario Addy Davis. For DeMario Davis.
Foyse Aluakun.
Listen to Adam and take Logan Wilson with a dart throw.
Eric Kendricks again, someone that we were saying draft this dude.
So good.
Discount Bobby Wagner.
Or just like, don't freaking trade away Devin White and just sit and know what you have.
Well, and then this is what we said was the tragedy of last year. We thought Eric Kendricks was on this top six trajectory. He might have been top two or three had he not gotten hurt.
Oh,
because now we see him as LB1.
It's also interesting we don't see any Jalen Smiths or Zach Cunninghams in here. Any people who in the last couple of years have had a ton of tackles but have also been getting super exposed in coverage or just god-awful like PFF grades.
It is kind of wild. This is an old man's list.
Yeah.
Bobby Wagner.
Yep.
You've got... DeMario Davis.
All middle linebackers as well.
Eric Kendricks.
Very few off-ball guys.
Even, I mean, Deion Jones and he's getting up there in age now. He's 27.
Yeah.
Even Darius Leonard's like 26
I was gonna say,
and a half.
Leonard is not young.
Yeah.
He's not a spring chicken anymore. He's dealt with injuries all season.
Did we mention Perriman, who is right there behind him? He's probably not on the list, but he's 14.1 points per game. That's 14th best.
Freaking DeMario's been discount Blake Martinez.
Yeah, he's been that too. He's qualified as well.
So good.
He's been great.
So we mentioned Shaq Thompson and Azeez Al-Shaair as the two guys outside the top 12 to watch. Also want to throw in there Kaiser White, Bobby Okereke. Mm-hmm. I did hear Okereke instead of Okereke this weekend.
Also, when did the Raiders play?
Sunday night against the Chiefs.
Ngakoue said unique.
Yeah.
When they did the whole like... wherever he's
and
from.
I said at this spot, I'm trying to be more accurate on the names, but I still like Yannick better.
Yeah.
A few more I'll add in here. Anthony Walker, 15 points per game over his last five. Quan Alexander, surprisingly enough, 12.9 over his last three.
Everyone's just looking at that Achilles like, you doing all right there, bud?
Yeah.
It's ticking time, Bob.
It really
you know
is.
That.
We all know that. All right, gentlemen, let's move to safeties, unless you have a final point here, Bob.
What about the Maniac? How are we evaluating the Maniac this year?
Maniac's been fine. He's been hurt. I mean, to put up these kind of numbers on a bum ankle, I promise you, just wait. You all know right after the season finishes.
Oh, it's, surgery.
It's this injury hampered me all season.
Mm-hmm.
Darius Leonard, it will be like he had a fractured ankle or a torn, you know, tendon at the bottom of his foot. It'll be something god awful.
Labia.
Yeah, the labia is torn all to shreds. That thing is just.
Well, didn't he get hurt this weekend?
He did. Yeah, he got banged up a little bit. I think he finished the game, but he did get banged up. He was on the ground at one point holding that ankle, and I was like, oh no.
Same was like, oh boy.
So, for being hobbled.
Yeah, because it seemed like we lost Chase Young, TJ Watt, Anders, like for a stretch there.
All at once.
Yeah.
And we dodged some bullets.
Perryman knocking on the door pretty hard.
What's up with that?
It's pretty wild, isn't it?
Weird
just
world.
Getting just tons of tackles.
Yeah. I guess so, but still.
We got to just...
What? It's crazy.
A bunch of hovers. Jordan Brooks hovering right outside. Nick Bolton hovering. Your boy Fred Warner hovering. Kaiser White right there.
Nick Bolton's snaps dropped off a cliff, though, this past week.
Yes, I know.
Isaiah Simmons.
Very weird.
Hovering.
I just picture hovering over a toilet and blasting a Duke in like a gas station bathroom when you say that.
Let's go.
Oh, also need to mention guys that are hot. Josh Bynes. He's averaging 16 points per game over his last four.
Mm-hmm. Josh Bynes. Team Josh, welcome.
Yeah.
Team Josh might be the best name team. I'm just throwing it out there. We got the core of Josh Allen and Josh Allen.
Mm. We got Josh Rosen, Rosen to back you up.
Yeah, Josh Norman.
Got Josh Norman. And Josh Bynes.
Josh Gordon, you said.
Josh Gordon, welcome to the squad.
Josh Jacobs. Running back.
Telling you, Team Josh is looking strong.
Josh Reynolds.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
That's a nice little team.
Pride of Detroit.
You could probably do close to like maybe a starting offense with all Josh's.
Yeah.
I don't know how that offensive line is looking. I don't know a lot of like dominant Josh's along the offensive line.
That's probably more than you think.
Josh Sweat.
There you go. Another Josh.
There you go. You get both Josh Allens. That's sick.
Yep, that's a good little core to build around. Yeah.
That week where Josh Allen picked Josh Allen, though, that would have messed you up.
Yeah.
It blew my freaking mind, dude.
Team Josh, too much Team Josh violence, guys. We are a team.
So speaking about some positions that have worked out so far, kind of been, you know, somewhat relative, let's talk about safeties and just how god-awful that's been.
Not great, Bob.
Not great, Josh. I love it.
And I don't love it. I love it about as much as I love this gingerbread Mountain Dew.
Let me give you the rankings over here first before y'all rankings. Let me give you the finishes right now before Adam talks about points per game. So the DB1 right now, we're going to talk about a couple corners, I guess, in here as well. But the DB1, Kevin Byard, also the safety one. Trayvon Diggs, the DB2. The DB2.
CB1.
The CB1. Kenny Moore, the DB3, the CB2. Jalen Ramsey, the DB4, the CB3. Wowee. Golly.
Four of the top five are cornerbacks.
Let's stop there.
This is even more than last time we did this.
I'm not done, Josh. JC Jackson, the DB5, the CB4.
What are you touching the board for, Eddie? What are you doing there, bud?
Derwin James, the DB6, the safety 2. Jordan Poyer, DB7, safety 3. Micah Hyde, DB8, safety 4.
Wow, it's weird seeing both those guys back-to-back inside the top 12.
Poyer's been coming on here lately. Hyde started off the year pretty hot. Kyle Duggar, shout out Marcy, DB9, safety 5, or cornerback, whatever he would be.
He is
in
cornerback
RSO.
In RSO.
He is there. Maybe, I don't know MFL what he is, leagues outside of sleeper. But Justin Simmons, DB10, safety 6. He's been coming on here lately. He kind of started the season a little slow. Anthony Brown, love him. Opposite Trayvon Diggs. Trayvon. DB11, CB5, Xavier Woods, DB12, safety 7.
Wow. I am truly shocked here that we had, five cornerbacks? I think it was five cornerbacks cracked the top 12 last time we did this, but you've got four inside the top 5. That is blowing my mind.
And
is this just the way IDP's moving? Are cornerbacks now more valuable than ever? Or is this just a fluke?
I think they're
freaking out, man.
I think there are like 6 to 8 really good cornerbacks, and then they all just kind of it's a crapshoot.
Yeah,
I'd rather have the safeties. If we're talking about there's five or those ones you named. Those are the cornerbacks you want this year.
But we pointed this out in the offseason that. Points per game wise, if you're playing in sleeper and you're playing DBs, you need to be paying attention to these Jalen Ramseys, Marlon Humphreys.
Slot corners.
Exactly. We talked about this and how, you know.
Bobby
was
on Jalen Ramsey for anybody.
You can take your safeties and stuff earlier on, but you've got to get to a point to where you start drafting cornerbacks, at least in baby IDP, because points per game wise, I don't really care about the names and whatnot. If they're the same position, give me the person scoring, you know, more points per game.
Well, you guys want to hear some points per game stuff?
Please, Addy.
Let's do corners since we were just talking about them. That's all right. Fresh. All right, so Trevon Diggs. Yes, sir.
Okay. Limoncello LaCroix.
Get you cold beer.
Ice cold Lamarita.
Trevon Diggs, 17.7 points per game. Kenny Moore, number two, at 14.9 points per game. And I got to say, boy, what a joy that fella is.
Kenny.
Such a
to roster.
He's so fun.
Boy, he's fun. Recommend everyone rostering Kenny Moore and L'Jarius Sneed as your two cornerbacks. That's my advice. Jalen Ramsey, 14.8 points per game. Again, just playing the slot role this year, getting tons of tackles.
89.4 coverage grade.
Let's go. J.C. Jackson, right behind him at 14.4 points per game. That's fourth best. Anthony Brown, 13.3. So we're already seeing a bit of a drop-off, 13.4 points per game. Xavien Howard, another drop-off, about full point, 12.4 points per game. Teron Johnson, 12.4 points per game, who's been a little banged up. Rasul Douglas, 12.2, who's got a very small sample size. Josh Norman, 11.7, I believe the same thing, small sample size. So, again, we're L'Jarius Sneed going down the list a little bit. L'Jarius Sneed is at 15.
Hey,
it's 10.9.
L'Jarius Sneed is a very good cornerback.
He's a great cornerback. He's solid week to week. That's the difference between L'Jarius Sneed, though, and someone that like one of those. Some of these cornerbacks have had high
big
interception.
Boom.
Yeah. You know, they've had the 28-point games, but then they get two the next week.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas L'Jarius Sneed, he's like in between 10 to 15 every week.
Sure. Same some love on the broadcast on Sunday Night Football.
Right. Same with Marlon Humphrey, who's right below L'Jarius Sneed at 10.9 as well. So, I mean, that's 10.9 points per game. That is the 16th best corner. So, again, it's a pretty significant drop-off. So, switching over to safeties. Jordan Poyer right now is number one in points per game.
Wow.
16.7 points per game. Kevin Byard, 16.0 points per game. Derwin James is third at 15.7. Micah Hyde, 13.8 points per game. Harrison Smith, 13.1. Antoine Winfield, 13 points per game. Xavier Woods, 13 points per game. So that's surprising. Him and Harrison Smith both in top.
Yeah.
Marcus Mays at 12.8. He's done now, of course.
Rip.
Xavier McKinney. Let's go. 12.7 points per game.
It's coming.
Logan Ryan, 12.6. Honey Badger, 12.6. Kyle Duggar, 12.4. That is 12th overall. Justin Simmons, 12.3. Nasir Adderley, 11.9. Kari Willis, 11.9. That's 15th.
Mm. Yep. That was, I was going to say, the players outside the top 12 that aren't pulled for us, Javon Holland, 15.71 points per game the last 5 weeks, 99% of snaps in that time. Antoine Winfield, you mentioned, 14.75 points per game the last 5 games. He only has played 7 games this season due to injury, but plays between 95 to 100% of snaps when he's healthy. Jeremy Chinn coming on strong, 13.15 points per game the last 5 games, 97% of snaps those 5 games. Jonathan Abram, 12.77 points per game the last 5 games, 100% of snaps each game this season. And your boy, Addy, Ashton Davis, 11.13 points per game the last 4 weeks. He took over the starter role 4 weeks ago and has played 98% of snaps ever since.
Let's go.
How much further down is Rapp and Fuller?
I didn't go too far out. Let's see. Well, maybe. Let's see.
Can't be that much further down.
They're down here. Okay, so, there's some. So, like, Jamal Adams, he is 20th in points per game with 11.4. Von Bell, 11.1. That's 21st. Taylor Rapp, 22nd, 10.9. Mm. I didn't get to...
Fuller might be a little further down.
Buda Baker is 36th at 9.9.
Wow.
Where's Jalen Thompson?
Jalen Thompson is 32nd at 10.1.
Wow.
Jeremy Chinn is 28th at 10.3.
But that's DBs.
Those are strictly safeties. I split them up. Wow. Yeah, I split them up.
Whoever would have thought you'd see Jalen Thompson ahead of Buda Baker.
I know.
Yeah, Buda
and
Baker.
And Buda right Baker now. Almost a safety four.
Yeah, safety 36 in points per game right now.
Wow.
Mm. I should put these out probably.
So let's take those two big names, or those three big names there, right? You mentioned Jamal Adams was 20.
Jamal Adams is 20, coming off a huge week.
Jeremy Chinn is?
Jeremy Chinn is
28, I think you said.
28.
28.
Buda Baker is 36.
32nd. Okay. 36. Sorry. Give me end of the year. If we do this after the end of the regular season, what's the final before the playoffs start? Where do these guys end up? I want all three of those guys.
Jamal Adams, Jeremy Chinn, Buda Baker.
Okay. In that order. Do you think they jump up significantly? Do any of them jump into the top 12 for you?
Jamal Adams and Jeremy Chinn both jump into the top 12.
Okay. Bobo, what do you think? I think I'm going to say Jamal Adams 15. I'm going to say Chinn 12. And I'm going to say Buda Baker 32.
Here's the thing, though. They just got to stay healthy. The
fact that's true. Assumes health. I'm assuming health.
Yeah. Well, if they do, then if they all stay healthy, then I bet they will just because of the volume.
Yeah. This will regress.
But that's tough. I mean, they're that's a lot of ways to go, and a lot of people have to drop out.
What do you think, Bobo?
I'm going to say Jamal Adams works into the top 12 because I do think he's going to have an opportunity for some big games. They've got some weird teams to play.
One thing that gives me pause about Adams, I heard from the Athletic Football Show, Nate was saying they have to hide this guy in coverage.
Yeah.
They're just like, go over here, don't get burnt.
Yeah, but who cares? I mean,
but he's saying that's your best defensive player.
Yeah.
And you have to hide him in coverage, and you traded 2 first round picks and gave him the biggest safety contract in NFL history.
Yeah, it's not good for real football, but for IDP.
Oh, for IDP, yes.
He'll be in the box. They're gonna use him as a pass rusher. So yeah. Yeah, I think that's why I think we just saw it with Devin White, right? The guy that had 19, 20 pressures to the first, 9 weeks.
No sacks.
And
that broke through. Yeah.
Reminded everyone, oh, yeah, that's why Devin White is a top 3 dynasty asset.
He can win you a week.
Yes.
In RSO right now, Jamal Adams is the safety 11.
Oh, wow. But there's no corner.
It's just safety, straight safeties.
Hmm.
But either way, yeah, he's had some really up games and he's had some really down games. Jamal Adams will be a top 12 safety. Jeremy Adams?
Jeremy Adams, yeah. Went to school with him. He's an engineer now.
Jeremy Chinn will be a safety 2 and Buda Baker will be a safety 3. That's simple.
Okay.
1, 2, and 3.
There we go.
Buda is playing too deep.
So we are the least optimistic about our beloved Buda Baker.
Yeah.
Just playing deep. Got the linebackers there.
The log is just inconsistent right now.
Yep. It's Jalen Thompson's season. Jalen Thompson is someone that needs to be talked about. He's playing good football. He had a pick last week. I think he might have led Arizona in tackles. I'm not just talking about him because I have him, but he scored 22.5 last week in RSO. The dude's a baller.
So, yeah, in that same vein, so some guys that kind of stand out on the list, Nasir Adderley, I mentioned he is 14th in points per game, 11.9. Eric Harris, a guy that we've mentioned on this podcast quite a bit, 11.6 points per game. That's 18th among safeties. Jayron.
Yeah.
11.5. That's 19th among safeties. Javon Holland has played really well as of late.
Let me ask y'all this because I have Winfield and Holland on the bench. I've been rolling out Jonathan Abram, Landon Collins. Should I make the switch and give Winfield and Holland the start, or are we still a little bit shaky on those guys?
Holland's playing really well.
I want to put Holland in there, but I know he's going to crap the bed the first time.
The thing I love about Holland is that he gets a lot of pass rush snaps.
He does.
They did rush the crap out of him.
Yeah.
This game against the Ravens.
Let me pull this up because I saw that and I was like, what the hell?
Yeah.
I'm serious. I think he had like 19
pass rush attempts snaps
this past week.
I'm telling you, it was wild. I was like, wow, they really are using this guy all over the field. Had another huge game, like 25 points, I think, in RSO. So, what
the hell was that?
I'm
like an animal out there. It's being torn apart or something.
Oh, that's good.
Or a human.
Either way.
All right. So, yeah, let's see. Javon Holland.
It's the Bears. They followed you from Pitching Forge.
That's all right. It was time.
So last week he had 22 pass rush snaps.
Jeez.
He put up 6 pressures.
22?
Yeah, so he had 27. So his alignment last week, he had 27 on the defensive line. He had 8 in the box, 30 at free safety, 5 at slot, 3 out wide.
Here's why you do this.
Wow.
because you're to the point in the season in RSO to where you can make the playoffs, but you kind of need some boom games.
Yeah.
So you're to the point to
where... Kind of start swinging for the fences.
Absolutely. I think he's a perfect example of that.
All right, I'm putting him in, damn it.
Let's look at Winfield usage.
Ride or die, baby.
Another guy I'm kind of coming on to here lately as well is Cameron Curl. He has slowly started performing a little bit better. Week 6, 15 points, then 8, then 9, then they had a bye week, and then he had 11 last week at Tampa Bay. So if you're looking for just a solid safety too, I'm coming around on Curl.
Meanwhile, Winfield... 3 on the line, 14 in the box, 52 at free safety, 3 in the slot, 1 at corner. That's the story pretty much every week. He's on the year, he's got 77 box laps.
box laps. Not to be confused with box snaps.
Or slop snaps. Or sweet spot snaps. Yep. Box slaps.
Slaps.
I think you do those at the gym, don't you, Bobby?
Yeah.
You do.
You got to slap the box.
You got to work that face out as well.
Slap them boxes.
Build up a tolerance to get hit a lot.
Box slaps.
Is the box slapping you? I'm confused now.
There's a lot of stuff. It's unclear what's going on.
It's unclear what's being slapped and what's being boxed at the moment.
19. All right. So on the year, Antoine Winfield, 19 on the defensive line, 77 in the box, 342 at free safety, 33 at slot, 2 at corner. So, yeah, again, primarily playing deep. Whereas Holland is, yeah, kind of, you know, seemed like 50-50 deep and then in the sweet spot.
I just picture them having like a big refrigerator box and them just hauling and slapping the shit out of that thing in like training camp.
Slapping boxes.
I'm done. I'm shot now. Hearing box slaps.
Hey,
Bobby, I'm done.
You want to know who the high scoring safety in RSO was last week? Jalen Thompson.
There you go.
Wow.
That is a little surprising. I thought Holland would be up there as well.
You want to know who number 2 was?
Was it Javon Holland?
Antoine Winfield.
Hey, there we go. Wow. They both had a good week. I was like, of course they had the best week ever on the bench.
Mm. Who were starting for you?
Abram and Collins, I think.
Those guys are more safe week to week.
Javon Holland was.
I was like, can I trust these guys? You know,
Javon Holland was about the safety 7 last week.
Yeah, he had a nice little game.
Let's go.
So I might roll them out, like Bobby said. Got to swing for the fences.
We're to that point in the year to where a lot of people are, you know, closing up shop, and a lot of people are downshifting, pulling it down into third gear.
Ooh, we're getting car talk, Bob. All right.
Getting them RPMs up.
I mean, especially in dynasty leagues, right? Because in ours, I know there's 5 teams, right, that are still in it. Yes. And the rest of them, everyone else is like, well,
whatever.
Let's go back.
2023.
Let's go back to the Chubb trade. Who cares about 2023 picks? If you're in contention right now,
yeah.
Don't hold on to those like they're gold.
Always go
back,
for it.
And I can get those back next year. I can trade Chubb next year.
Yeah. Exactly. You can trade Chubb back to a contender and get that 2023 pick.
Probably just back to the Browns owner you just got him from.
Exactly right.
That's why another reason I ask, would you do that for 2022? Because you can go get 2023 back. You probably can't get 2022 back.
That's okay. I'm okay sitting out. I'm okay.
Yeah. Scrap. Do whatever you got to do to get into the playoffs. But also, shout out to my boy Lauren, because we talk about this a lot. Don't be ashamed to just roll out a safety 2. Like, not all the time we're rolling out safety 1s. Like, if you've got a Cam Curl, if you've got a Javon Holland, if you've got a...
Jalen Thompson.
I almost said Minka Fitzpatrick. Don't ever roster Minka Fitzpatrick. Ever.
Stinka.
In any league.
Stinka. Yeah, John calls him Stinka Fitzpatrick on the Squealers.
But, I mean, don't be ashamed to just roll out a, you know, DN2. Because... a lot of times, DN2s can get you to the playoffs.
Shit, I'd kill for a DN2.
I was going to say, I think Addy would kill for a DN4 right now.
Yeah, right now we're rolling out. Last week we rolled out Jonathan Cooper and Charles Harris.
Nice.
You could have made up 2 names right there, and people would have believed you at this point.
2 names that no one was familiar with.
I rolled out Waldo Zimmerman from the Bengals.
And in Denver, Draymond Jones had the sack on my IR.
I saw that, yeah.
There we go.
I'm also excited about getting Kenny Wilkes back this week. That tells you where I'm at.
Is that the guy that killed Abe Lincoln?
Kenny Wilkes? That's his son.
That's his son. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, what did we think?
He's 180.
He can play. Right?
He was at a play. I got you on that one. You finally landed it.
And I got to say, that dude stinks, baby.
That one did not stink, baby. Hey, what do we think of, speaking of bad kind of name puns, John rolled out the sometimes he's Max Crosby and sometimes he's Min Crosby.
I like that.
I thought he said Bing Crosby, and so I was like, I love the Bing Crosby joke. He's like, no, it was Min Crosby. No,
I got it, too. It took me a second. I was like, yes,
there,
Min
there
and
we
Max.
Go. He's like, Johnny and I love it, so we're going to keep rolling. And I was like, that's what you got to do. Yeah, who cares if the listeners don't like it?
I think it was great.
Did y'all hear Collingsworth talk about how maybe he needs to be triple X Max? Like, that's a different.
Yeah. No way.
Yeah. And I was like, he
is, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, bro.
Yeah.
We know.
We've been saying this, Collingsworth.
Have you not seen my rankings? Hello.
As Connor says, you can't be H on main, Collingsworth. You gotta tone that down just a bit.
Come on.
Don't be H on main.
So let's, real quick, before we wrap up here, let's talk about positionally. Who's going to be one person in the top 12 that's out of each of these positions, DB, linebacker, and then edge? And then who's going to be somebody on the outside that you're going to have in?
Okay, so for safety, this is why I had Arn pull this, so I could have this prepped. I'll say that Jeremy Chinn. I think Jeremy Chinn, outside the top 12 right now, according to Big 3 scoring, I think he sneaks his way into the top 12. I would love to say Winfield or Holland as they're on my squad, but I just don't trust them. Mm-hmm. For linebacker, I'm going to be a little bit of a homer here. Man, it's tough to argue with Shaq Thompson, though. I'm going to go with Bobby Okereke. I think he sneaks into the top 12. And then at defensive line, let's go with... Ooh, these are tough. What Marcus Davenport? Could he get? Could he?
He just
is
he
too
enough,
far behind?
He hadn't had enough games, but maybe. But again, there's not like it's a, yeah. You know.
I'm looking at some of these. Trey Hendrickson absolutely could. He probably was top 12 last time we did this. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
So he'd be a good option.
He's
23rd
in points per game, 12.9. But again, that's defensive line. So that's edge.
Who falls out of that? Does Marcus Golden fall out of the top 12?
I feel like
12?
Marcus Golden is a candidate.
No.
Jeffrey Simmons is a candidate just because the last two games have really boosted his stats.
Are we waiting for the floor to fall out with Hassan Reddick, or are we just buying in at this point?
I mean, I feel like he's all in. Pretty safe as a top 12 option. Maybe someone like...
defensive line. I don't think there's that many candidates, really.
To fall out or to...
To fall out.
Yeah.
Right? I think Golden, you could say. I think Jeffrey Simmons, you could say. But these other guys have stuck around like a booger.
I mean, maybe Joey Bosa. He's got the COVID this week, though, so that's not great. But Joey Bosa is outside of the top 12, right?
Yes. Yeah. He's not in the top. It's just Nick.
Maybe Cam Hayward falls out.
That could be.
If TJ Watt isn't right and that line's a little wonky. Also, what is Devin Bush doing? Have y'all been keeping up with him? Is he just... kind of a cast off at this point.
Yeah, just nothing special.
I gotcha.
Yeah. Which is, weird. You've got a few really nice options for the Steelers, but one of the guys we were most excited about.
Yeah.
Also, another IDP asset in Joe Schobert that was basically vaporized the minute he arrived there.
Yeah.
So, all right, what about you? Linebackers that could creep into the top 12 from outside looking in right now.
It's a huge fly. Right on my computer.
That's like, what's on your computer there, bud?
Kind of scared me here for a second. All right, so someone that's outside that can move in.
Into the linebackers. Linebacker's pretty solid. Like, I look at this list and I'm like, I don't know who I'd take out of this right now. Maybe Jordan Hicks. Devin White could, I guess, because of the variance we've seen this season.
Fred Warner, I think, could still move into the top 12. I think he has some potentially big games ahead of him.
Shaq's missed too much, right?
Shaq's missed a lot, but boy, if he keeps putting up, you know, 22 a game like he has over his last three.
A single digit's done it, right? That's like the magic juice from Space Jam that was changing the number for him.
I think so.
I'm going to pull Foyer Aluakon out.
Okay.
Last couple weeks. So week 8, he did have 10 tackles. Week 9, he had 6 tackles. And then week 10, he still had 6 tackles. So, but 19 points per game, 9 points per game, 15 points per game. I don't know. Atlanta's just really bad. And maybe he just keeps rolling out there and getting tackles. But
it would make sense that maybe one of the two Atlanta guys would fall out.
And, you know, we stand Deion. So, sorry, Foyer. And then my linebacker that I'm going to have in the top 12, this is easy for me, Isaiah Simmons.
Okay. Mm. That's a good choice as well. What about DB? I think there's several options that you could point to here. A lot of these cornerbacks could fall out.
Here's the rule. Pick a safety.
Pick a safety? Okay. Let's say Kyle Duggar falls out.
He's a corner, Josh.
Well, he's a safety on this list.
Josh.
So
Macri's going to be pissed tomorrow.
Okay, Xavier Woods then. DB12, safety 7 right now.
Okay, I don't hate it.
And then, I think Jeremy Chinn works his way back into the top 12.
I'm going to kick out Anthony Brown.
Anthony Brown is a cornerback.
I make the rules, Josh. I don't have to follow them.
Not great, Bob.
Not great, Bob.
Too bad. Very hypocritical, Bob.
Oh, man.
Someone that falls out, Antoine Winfield.
Mm. He's not in the top 12 right now. He's outside.
I'm looking at points per game.
Peace out, Antoine.
Let me get over there. Hold on.
Jeez Louise.
Any chance Javon Holland gets into this top 12? I feel like he has a good shot playing 100% of snaps.
Maybe.
Sure. He's gonna be playing 50% in the sweet spot.
And he's got to land those sacks and picks. But
in the last 4 weeks, he does have 2 sacks and an interception. So, big play. 20 points, 7 points, 11 points, 20 points last 4 weeks. Wow. The weeks before that, he had 9 points and 9 points. So, he's ramping.
He's ramping. We like it.
Well, we're going to just stick with... I think Micah Hyde was the guy that I had when we did this last time.
Just sticking with it?
I'm just going to stick with Micah Hyde. He's dropping out of there. I think he was like...
He has been falling.
Wasn't he like one or two?
Yes.
Now he's 8? Wow.
He's just watching him sink like a stone.
Yeah, I'm good at this, guys.
Run it, Hyde. Let's go get some box slaps, boys.
Box slaps.
Let's get out of here.
Who's your DB getting in?
I told you, Jeremy Chinn.
Okay, Chinn. I didn't say.
Jamal Adams.
All right.
Or Addy needs this.
Or Eric Harris.
Is that your other safety?
Yes.
I need, what's his name? John Wilkes Booth to get in on the defensive end. Bobby, you got to pick one.
Mm. Let's go Minka Fitzpatrick.
Jalen Thompson.
That's it. 100%. Yes, sir. Jalen, stamp it.
All right, let's chug these things, boys.
Put it in the mail.
God, no.
No way I'm touching that again.
That is just...
Y'all boys, give me yours. I kind of end these things now.
You kind of end these?
Yes, sir.
And he's going to be 400 pounds next time he walks to the door.
Exclusively drinking ginger snaps.
Ginger snaps.
Kind of like somebody crammed a Christmas tree from Little Debbie down in a Mountain Dew.
Yes, sir.
It's just the worst. It's maybe the worst Mountain Dew I've ever had. I think it is. Josh, I've never tasted one worse than that.
It's a Christmas drink, Josh. You're not supposed to have a bad attitude.
You're not supposed to like it.
I love it.
You're supposed to just cherish it for what it is.
Thank you, Bobby, for bringing that to us.
Well, thank you all for listening. We seriously appreciate y'all sticking with us. And later this week, we have Joey and Evan coming up for the Week 11 preview. Crazy, we are already into Week 11. Next week, schedule's a little bit different because of Thanksgiving, but we'll have one of our absolute favorites on Monday to talk to us, Kyle Bellefuel.
Yes, sir.
He's coming on to update us on what's going on.
For three!
Kyle Bellinelli. I'm having to interpret. I'm the joke interpreter right now. And then we will have the Week 12 preview Wednesday night so we can include the Thursday Thanksgiving games for y'all. Because we'd like to take care of you guys.
Yes, sir.
So stay tuned to the IDP show feed.
You're starting at Weight Watchers. It's a rough time of the year, Josh.
That's right.
That's why I got to start it, because I got to give myself some margin.
Remember that podcast where you talked about people and which foods they were?
Yes, I do.
It's going to be hard to do this year.
It's coming up.
Max Crosby's going to be a nice Caesar salad.
I was going to say, I think that was an XFFL pod. I don't think that actually dropped in this feed.
No, sir, it was. It was in here. Go find it.
And we're sick and tired of y'all talking trash about turkey. Yeah. If you don't like turkey, they don't know how to cook it. It's clear your parents were good cooks.
We're going to get out of here before this whole place, like a deep-fried turkey, burns to the ground. So... thank y'all for listening, and shout out.
Hit a couple drops before we leave.
You need to fry them things. You can bake them too, but they're good in the oven.
We're going to
take a beer up our ass.
Yes, sir.
We're going to go
deep fry
out. In honor of Connor's newest son being born today, we're going to go out with a Connor drop.
And I got to say, that dude stinks, baby.
Anyone saying that turkey is not good, that dude stinks, baby.
That's right.
Thank y'all for listening.
Hell no.
We will see y'all later this week. Take care.
IDP show, IDP show, IDP show.